to stand in awe of Jesus, to whom all praise is due, the only one that deserves all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. To Jesus, to you be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. We stand in awe of you. Amen. You may take your seats. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so very much. Lovely. Thank you. Well, good morning. Oh, you're very quiet this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, David. Well, we've had a really, really busy week in the house of the Lord this week. It's been a very busy week. Have you been along to one of our midweek studies or sessions? Can I encourage you, if you haven't been along to one of our prayer groups or to women or to the men's ministry, that you get yourself along to one of our midweek groups? We are having such an amazing time together around God's Word and in prayer together in unity. And if you're new to Mossville Community Church, can we just say welcome? But can we also encourage you to get along to our midweek groups, because that's when we get to know each other a little bit better. That's when we grow deeper and more connected friendships, and we get to fellowship with each other. So it brings us joy. Pastor Hughes shared this before. It brings us joy when we see you coming through the doors during the week. Okay, so I look forward to seeing you all at one of the sessions this week. So today we are looking at week 2 in a very short series, looking at the wonder of Christ. Everyone say wonder. Wonder. We've sung enough about it over the last 2 weeks now. So last week we were looking at the wonder working power of God, and we established that God wants to open us up. He wants to open up our senses to his mighty presence. His desire is to open up our ears, our eyes, our hearts to his wonder. And we asked the question last week, well, how do we do that? How do we position ourselves to see and experience the wonder of God? And we answered that by looking at Scripture. We turned last week to the Gospel of Luke to answer that question. And we heard all about the disciples and how the disciples heard the word of God. They not only heard the word of God, but they responded. They followed Jesus. They obeyed. And it caused them to see the great and wonderful things that Jesus was doing. We heard last week that they saw awe-inspiring miracles. They stood in awe and wonder at what the Master was doing. They obeyed and they got to see the wonder of God. So I don't know about you, but that was wonderful to hear all of that last week. And we had a wonderful time down here at the altar as we responded to what God was saying to us last week. But I don't know about you, but I want more. I still want more. I want to see more. I want to hear more. I want to experience more. And I want to expect more. So did you come with expectation in your hearts this morning? We should be coming every Sunday, running through the door on a Sunday morning going, what have you got for us, Jesus? Because I want more of you. William Carey was a missionary. He was born in the late 17th century and he died in 1834. He was a Baptist minister and a missionary. And he was known as the father of modern missions. And he was famous for saying this, and you know this, woman to woman, ladies. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. So have you come here with expectation this morning? Do you believe that God can do great and marvelous things in and through your life? How can we say that this morning with such confidence that God has more for us as his children. Well, we can say it with boldness and confidence because, church, his wonders never cease. And if you're taking notes, that's your title for this morning's message. His wonders never cease. Let's just pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy this morning, and we come with great expectation in our hearts that you have more for us, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what the Lord has prepared for us. Lord, we come now. We ask that by your Holy Spirit that you would open up our senses to your mighty presence this morning. As you open up your word now, Father God, would you give us ears to hear in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So I want to return today once again to the disciples. We heard last week, and as I've said already this morning in our introduction, that they certainly witnessed many astonishing miracles, healing miracles that we heard of. They saw men and women who had suffered life-threatening conditions and disabilities healed in Jesus' name. They saw broken individuals who were battling with mental health issues. They saw them healed. Mary Magdalene for one. Legion another. And they saw God perform amazing miracles through Jesus Christ. They witnessed all of that. But it didn't stop there. One of the greatest wonders that their eyes beheld, of course, had to be the resurrected Jesus, as he stood before them with his nail-pierced hands. They got to walk with Jesus every day, learn from him as they walked the dusty streets with Jesus. They listened to him. They watched him. They were completely awestruck as he healed the blind and the deaf, as he ate with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, as he healed Jairus' daughter and the centurion's servant. They stood in awe and wonder as they watched Jesus walk on water, as they witnessed Jesus command the storms to be still, but nothing prepared them to see and witness the resurrected Jesus standing there right in front of them. Not that resurrection was anything too difficult for them to imagine, though, because there was, in fact, the raising of Lazarus, wasn't there? That day where they witnessed Lazarus walk out the tomb and the grave clothes come off him. However, they actually witnessed Jesus walk through the streets carrying his cross. They witnessed a crown of thorns being pushed down on his head. They witnessed Jesus being mocked and spat on and scorned. They witnessed a knife being pierced into his side and the blood running down his body. Nothing prepared them then to Jesus. The Jesus is now alive, the resurrected Jesus, standing there right in front of them. Talk about wonders. Could there be anything greater than that? Well, you would think, no, wouldn't you? But then that would contradict what we're saying today. Because we're saying today that his wonders never cease. So as amazing and as awe-inspiring that moment must have been, there was more. There was more to come. And Jesus actually came to them and he said to them, greater works. Greater works you will see, but not only will you see that you will do. John 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, do you believe in him? Whoever believes in me will do the greater works that I have been doing. They will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, at this point, it's almost as if they had cotton wool in their ears, as if they'd missed the bit about the greater things, because all they could hear in this moment was that Jesus was saying that he was going away. That was not good news for them. They didn't want Jesus to go anywhere. This was the Messiah who they'd been waiting for, who they'd placed their hope and trust in. They believed that Jesus was the one that was going to free them from oppression and Roman rule. They didn't want to hear Jesus telling them that he was leaving them. But he said to them, it's good. It's good for you. It's really good for you that I do go. Let's read on. John's Gospel now, chapter 16, verse 7. You know this. Very truly, I tell you, it is good that I am going. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Amen. But they're thinking, no, Jesus, it's not good. It's not good. But he's saying, I have to go. You see, I have to go so that I can send the helper, so that I can send the advocate, so that I can send the agent, the comforter. Who am I talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm here with you now, Jesus is saying, but I can't always be with you. But there's one who can. It's my Spirit. So it's actually good for you that I go so that he can come, because he can be with you always. As they stood before the resurrected Jesus, as he was about to ascend into his throne, which, by the way, was another awe-inspiring moment as he was taken up into heaven. Can you imagine being there in that moment? But he says to them in Acts chapter 1, he tells them that John baptized them with water, but in a few days they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he told them of the power that they would receive when he comes. So it was good that he went on so that he could come. And it goes on and it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, church, what Jesus was saying to his disciples in that moment was, there is more. There is more to come. Yes, you've seen great and marvelous things, awe-inspiring miracles. Yes, you've been filled with the wonder of Christ, but there is more for you to see and experience. A power was going to come unlike anything that they had ever witnessed or experienced in their life. And they were told to go and wait for it. We don't like to wait, but to go and wait for it. Just like John the Baptist prophesied, I baptize with water, but one will come who will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Go, he says. Go and wait for it. I wonder, is your heart found waiting this morning? Are you waiting patiently for a move of God in your life? Can I encourage you to continue to press in? Can I encourage you to continue to hold on and to wait upon the Lord? Not on the world, but to wait upon the Lord, for he will not disappoint you. For God's children will experience the grace, the wonder, and the goodness of God in the land of the living. That is right now. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things that you have planned for us, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Psalm 136, verse 4. To him alone does great wonders. His love endures forever and ever. Amen. Are you hearing this morning? God has more. Do you believe it? You see, I believe that some might need some convincing this morning. You see, perhaps you're living with I've seen it all frame of mind. I've seen it all mentality. You've heard the gospel. You've maybe responded at a conference. You've done the Alpha course. You come to church every week. In fact, you've given your life to Jesus. You're saved. So you think that's it. It's done. I've seen it all. If that is you, can I ask you to consider if you are restricting the power and the wonder of God in your life? For let me tell you something, great is his faithfulness. and his mercies are new every day, and his love lasts forever. So come on. You haven't seen it all. You haven't heard it all. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, I've heard this message before. I've heard this passage before. I've heard this story before. I've been coming to church for 40 years. You have not heard it all. You've not seen it all. You've not experienced it all, because God has greater. He's got greater heights that he wants to take you. He's got adventure that he wants you to go on. He's got revelation that he wants to share and bring to you. So you have not seen and done it all, because God's got more, for his wonders never, ever cease. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? If you do, there is more. But how is it possible, you may ask? How is that possible? For we don't have the resurrected Jesus standing here today in front of us with the nail-pierced hands. And yes, you're right. But you know what we do have? We have the Helper. We have the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised, and he is here. It is possible because of the Holy Spirit, who is our leader, who is here and makes it possible to open up our senses and see and experience the wonder of God. It is possible because of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at a very well-known passage in Scripture. I know you know this. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And let's ask God, as we open up Acts chapter 2, let's ask the Holy Spirit right now, Lord, reveal something fresh. We haven't heard it all. We might have read it many times, but give us something new, Lord. It's Pentecost. It's the festival of first fruits. The disciples are gathered in one room, commonly known as the upper room, although it doesn't actually say that. It says that they are together in one accord. So there's question mark over location. But what we do know is that they are gathered together in unity. And when we come together in unity, we know that the Lord commands blessing. And I wonder as they waited, are you here waiting this morning for Jesus? Are you waiting this morning for your "and suddenly" moment? For we read in verse 1, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." They were all filled. Did you see that? Not one was missed out. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples were waiting, and suddenly the one that they had been waiting for showed up. There was a wind. There was a noise. It didn't come quietly. No, it says the noise was like a heavenly sound. And there was shaking, and there was divided tongues of fire. I'm not going to say any more than that, because that's just wow. That's just a wow moment. It was an awe-struck moment as the disciples were filled in that room with wonder. They were filled with the fulfillment of a promise, because Jesus told them, go and wait for it. And they went, because once again they heard the voice of the Master, and they responded and they obeyed. Do you see the theme here? They listened to the voice of God and they received from God. So they were fulfilled with the promise. They were filled as they received in faith. They were filled in God's time, not their own time. They were to go and wait for it. And they were filled as they came together in unity. There's a whole other sermon in there. Perhaps Danny will do that one. They were filled in astonishing ways. In church, it didn't stop there. Verse 4 to 13. We read that they began to speak in a new language. This is amazing. They began to speak in tongues and utterance, and the Spirit gave them. And not only were they amazed, filled with wonder, not only did they stand in awe, filled with wonder at what God was doing, but it says there in verse 12, they were all amazed. Some had thought they'd been drinking. Others couldn't understand. Others asked, what does this mean? There was intrigue, but ultimately this was the most spectacular, mighty work of God. This was the blessing and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And after reading all of that, and after pondering all of that, you would even say to yourself, then surely this is the ultimate wonder. Surely this is all there is to see and experience. But no, it's not, because there's more. There is more, because you know what else Jesus promised? Jesus promised that he's coming back. He's coming back in the same way that he went. So church, there's more. There is so much more. Acts 1 verse 11. The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. So stop living in that I've seen it all frame of mind. Live with expectation, because Jesus is coming back. Don't know when, don't know, but he is. We should expect him. We should live expecting him. But in this moment, the room was filled with wonder, and it was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was filled with power, and the disciples were awestruck in wonder. And okay, we don't see stuff like that every day. We don't experience stuff like that every day. We wouldn't be able to function. I don't think I would function. I would be flat out in my face on the ground. I wouldn't be able to do the one-to-ones or woman-to-woman or do the washing. It would be just amazing. That's what heaven's going to be like. But we think about that. We think, oh, it's not like that for us. You know, that was fine for them, But it is like that for us, because this Holy Spirit is here. He hasn't gone away. He hasn't moved. You might have moved, but he hasn't moved. He, the Holy Spirit, is here. He is here. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the grave. The same Spirit that ascended him into heaven. The same Spirit that came at the festival of first fruits and blessed them with power is the same Spirit that lives in you today. If you have given your life to Jesus, then he is alive in you. He is alive in you. Romans 8 verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. You who believe, you who have received, the Spirit of God is alive in you. So are you waiting? Are you waiting here this morning for your and suddenly moment? Well, let me encourage you that he is here. And there is no limit to what he can do. And just as William Carey said that, and we heard at the beginning, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. As Jesus said, even greater you will do, greater things in my name. So for the remainder of our time, I want to just finish off chapter 2. Let's look at verse 14 to 40. I'm going to read it to you. Stay with me. Peter now addresses the crowd. So we've had that amazing moment, that Spirit-filled moment. Let's look at what happens. Verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below. And I'm going to leave it there for a moment because he goes on. But what do we see here? We see Peter We were introduced to him last week, only he wasn't Peter last week. He was Simon last week, and he was washing his nets at the side of the seashore. He was a simple fisherman. He heard the voice of God. He listened to Jesus. He followed. He abandoned his life and he followed Jesus. But now we see a different Peter, because we see a Holy Spirit filled Peter. We see a wonder filled Peter, and he is boldly standing for Jesus. This is the power, church, of the Holy Spirit. This is a wonder filled Peter. And it's not just Peter. Yes, he's the one standing, but he's representing the others, because the passage tells us that they all stood. The others stood with him. It's not just Peter that's had a transformation because of the Holy Spirit. It's not just Peter that is filled with awe and wonder. It was all of them. He was representing the change that had taken place in their lives. Men and women that were now ready, and they were deployed. Because scripture proves it. It tells us in the name of Jesus, they went out and they healed in his name, and they performed miracles in his name, and they taught in his name, and they established the early church in his name. Not Jesus, Jesus alive in them. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit now, and they were filled with wonder. And Peter, he talks about the Old Testament fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. He then goes on to talk about the wonders. I read it there in verse 19 that they will see and hear. And then he also goes on and he preaches the gospel message. Amen. This is a man that not only got to see the wonders of God, but he himself is now filled. He's filled with the wonder of God, and he became fisherman turned evangelist. It's amazing. What was the result of this wonder-filled moment that Peter was having? Well, the result of this wonder-filled moment was that it created wanderers. It created wanderers. People that were like, what on earth is going on? What is all this about? What is this power that is in these people? What is this love that we're seeing displayed in the lives of these people? It created wanderers, people that were moved to the point that they asked the question. Look at the question, verse 37. When the people heard, here there's some more listening going on here. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Oof. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the others, brothers, what shall we do? We've heard it before in scripture. What shall we do? What must I do to be saved? It created wanderers, and Peter leads them in salvation. Verse 38. He responds to their question. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ and for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive also the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Somebody needs to hear that. And for all whom the Lord our God will call. Does this not excite you? I am so excited at this. I'm so excited at the possibilities that this is opening up for us in our hearts right now, what God is speaking to us right now. Are you getting this? And we know that the response to this, when verse 41, that 3,000 people were saved. Wow. 3,000 wanderers, and it didn't stop there, because Peter and the others, they continued with passion and with zeal, and were filled with the wonder of God to preach and to teach. And these were unschooled men of God. They hadn't been to Bible school. They were just filled with the power and the presence of God. They were men and women who were filled with wonder. It says verse 43, everyone, this is our last verse, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. Yes, we've heard all about the many wonders and signs that were performed by Jesus, our Jesus. But they were inspired and in awe at the wonders and signs that were performed by the disciples, by the apostles. So as we conclude this mini series on the wonder of God, what is God saying to us? I say it once again, there is greater, there is more, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what the Lord has prepared for you. Are you waiting for it? Are you ready for it? Are you expecting it? There is more that he wants to teach us individually and as a church. There is more revelation that he wants to share with us. Are you found waiting? Can I continue to encourage you to press in? Press in. Wait upon the Lord. So the band can come back now. The way I see it, I believe there's two questions. There's two responses this morning. If you're hearing the word of God this morning for you and for your life. I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning, but I'd like you to do is take a peace pause. So if you put your pads and your pens and journals and things to the side and perhaps just close your eyes for a moment. Not for long, don't worry, this won't take long. Sit in the presence of God right now. You've heard that the Spirit of God is here. That Jesus is here. He's in our midst. And there's nothing that he can't do. We've heard of his wonder-working power. But perhaps you're here today, and this story of Peter and the disciples, perhaps it's inspired you this morning. Perhaps it's inspired you that your heart is saying, yes, Jesus, I am ready for the more. Yes, Jesus, I'm excited and full of excitement to see what you're going to do, not only in and through my life, but what I can do in your name. So if you're here this morning, and this awe-inspiring moment that Peter had, filled with boldness, has inspired you to the point that you're saying, I want a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, God. I want to be filled in such a way that I am ready for the greater things that you've got for my life. And I want to be used, Jesus, in creating wanderers. And if that is you today, what I'd like you to do very boldly is just to stand up. If you are hearing from Jesus today, and you believe that he has a greater work not only to do in and through your life, but that he wants you to be used in a bold way, in creating wanderers, in sharing the gospel message, in sharing the love of Jesus. If you're hearing Jesus speak to you today and your response is, God, use me. God, fill me up. God, give me your words. God, give me your strength. Give me your confidence. I want to be used by you. And if that is you, can I ask you to courageously stand up. If you could just remain standing. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to pray. But you see, I believe that God is asking for another response this morning. Perhaps you've heard in this passage of scripture that those in and around the disciples at this moment, they heard the truth. They heard the gospel truth that Jesus died for them and set them free. And in hearing that, there was 3,000 people that asked a question. They said, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And maybe you're here today and you've heard the Spirit of God speak to your heart today. And that's your question. You're in the sanctuary this morning. You know who you are. And you have heard of the power of Christ to save and to set you free. Set you free from your sins. And that's your question. What must I do today to be saved? What must I do today to receive Jesus? And if that's you today, what I'm going to ask you to do now, very courageously, very boldly, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can I encourage you to stand up? Just stand up where you are. If your desire is to receive Jesus into your life for the first time, to ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Then can I encourage you now to take your stand. Take your stand for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're here. And we thank you that you love us. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for us. We thank you, Jesus, for the wonder, work, and power that we have seen displayed in and through our own lives. We thank you for salvation. Lord, for those that have responded this morning to your call, they want to be filled afresh, Lord Jesus. Filled afresh by your Spirit. They're opening up their senses to you right now, and they're saying, Lord, fill me up. Lord, use me. I want to see the greater things that you have in store for me, but I want to also be used by you, Lord. Father, equip me. Father, bless me. Give me the tools that I need, the words that I need, the wisdom that I need. Lord, help me to go forth from this place this morning boldly, with confidence, with the love and grace of Jesus in my heart, to willingly share your gospel truths. Lord, may I create wanderers with the way I live my life. In Jesus' name. And Father, for anyone who is standing this morning in response to your call to open up their heart and receive you, that today is the day, Lord Jesus, I pray that seated or standing, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you pray this prayer with me now? Dear Lord, I believe that you're here. I believe that you died for me, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me, Lord, and set me free from the bondage of sin. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you today, Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my mind, Lord. Open up my senses, Jesus, to your wonder. I receive you now by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated.